So glad to have you with us. So good morning, everybody. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 16 this morning. In Matthew 16. And of course, next Sunday being Easter, we most Americans will be celebrating the resurrection from the dead. And we just want to talk about that cross a little bit here.
1202.
I'm going to put a cross up there. And of course, how many people in this room, I'm sorry, don't raise your hand, but how many people will be celebrating, the resurrection of Christ next week? Right? Okay, go right ahead. Okay. We do. We glory in that cross, don't we? Matter of fact, keep your hand there because we're going to come back. But go to Galatians chapter 6. Give me all that page out when you get there. Galatians chapter 6.
Galatians 6 also?
Galatians 6.
14:50.
And in Galatians chapter 6, I want you, and this is how we should look at the cross of Christ. We absolutely should be glorying in this, right? So Galatians chapter 6, because we always want to see in Scripture, the key is, this is the Word of God. Okay, you never take a man for what he's saying from a pulpit or you've got to see it in the Word of God. So Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the whole world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." And there it is right there. We glory in the cross of Christ. Okay, so now back to Matthew chapter 16. We know that, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel of Christ says that when the Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross, he shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins, right? He was buried. He took our sins to hell. And on the third day, he was raised again for our justification. Amen. We glory in that. Amen is right. We glory in that. Romans 6:23 says, bless you, says, "For the wages of sin is what?
Death.
But the gift of God is
eternal
life through Jesus Christ our Lord." He died for our sins is the key. So we know that. If he hadn't have gone and died for our sins, we'd still be in our sins. We'd still deserve death. The day we believe the gospel of Christ and put our trust in that and that alone for our salvation is the day that we are saved. And as Ephesians tells us, we're also sealed at that point. Nothing we can do to gain our salvation. Nothing we can do to lose our salvation. Now the key, what we wanted to study here this morning is that the passages we're about to read would be the week before this event happened. Palm Sunday is the Sunday before, right? Today is Palm Sunday. You're going to see a lot of people come home from church with, palm branches. But anyway, some of the things that Christ told the apostles during the week before this event, the crucifixion. Now remember, we all agree, we glory in it, right? And Paul said, we glory in the cross of Christ. But why? Some of these things. So in Matthew chapter 16... I want to start with a passage. Anyway, let's just start reading. So verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, okay, so who's he asking? His disciples. He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, so who's the they?
The disciples.
And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, so Peter's the one answering here, and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Okay, the gospel of God right there. Verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound on heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Okay, first of all, let's just stop right there for a second. Okay, that's where so many look at Peter as like the apostle, and like even the Catholic Church makes Peter the first pope. And I'm not suggesting that, and I'm not saying your Bible says that. I'm just saying this is the passage that they use to base that on. Watch what the very next verse says, verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Wow, that's interesting. After all that, and then he says, but don't tell anybody. And let's watch the next couple verses. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. And of course we know that's exactly what he does a week later, doesn't he? Verse 22, then Peter, look up for a second, Peter. So the guy we just talked about, right, that the Lord Jesus Christ gave the keys of the kingdom of heaven to, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, right? Yeah. That guy, that same Peter. Now watch what happens right after this. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Whoa. I thought we glory in the cross of Christ. I thought he went there and died for our sins. Well, he did, as we know now looking back on it. The point I'm making is, a week before this happens, Peter does not know it. And in fact, he rebukes Christ. Be it far from thee. Lord, at the end of verse 22, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now watch how the Lord Jesus Christ handles this. Watch the words he says in verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me. What's that next word?
Satan.
Whoa. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then, okay, and on he goes. So right after, again, the passage that the Catholic Church wants to use to say, look, Peter's the first pope. The first thing that happens after that is the Lord Jesus Christ telling him that he's going to go die on the cross and be raised again the third day. And Peter rebukes him, no way, Lord. And he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Wow. Okay, that's one passage. Let's look in the next chapter, chapter 17. Come over to verse 22. So Matthew 17 and verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. Stop reading for a second. So here again, same thing. He's telling them he's going to go and die on the cross and be raised again. Let's watch the last sentence there in verse 23. It says, and they were exceeding sorry. Verse 23 again. And they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again, and they were exceeding sorry. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm exceeding glad that he went to that cross and died for my sins and was buried and raised again for my justification. And they all were later on. I'm trying to establish it ahead of time. They did not know that this was going to happen.
So he was revealing that to them a week prior to
his
death? So
yes.
The whole time it never came up when Jesus was with the 12. Until a week prior.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying even up until a week prior. No. All along he'd been telling them, they always said, but tell no man. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, again, who's he talking to? The 12 disciples, right? Verse 18.
Right.
Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, And the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. And they shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. So one more time, he's telling them what's going to happen. Okay? Now, the next book to your right is Mark. Go to Mark chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Mark what?
Mark 9.
Including Judas Iscariot here, huh?
Yes.
Because we got the 12 listed.
Including, that's right, the 12. Including Judas Iscariot, the man that would betray him. Mark chapter 9, verse 31. We're going to see the same thing here. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Now watch verse 32. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. Okay, so they still don't understand he's going to go die and be raised again. Matthew, Mark, the next book to your right is Luke. Come to Luke, chapter 18. Again, always let your Bible interpret, you know, let Scripture interpret Scripture. Luke 18.
Page number?
1294.
Luke 18. And starting in verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Aha! Good timing. Okay. I was going to kind of sneak a quick sip there, too.
Okay. We've got some we can share.
I'm not going to edit this out.
Luke chapter 18, and verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12. So again, you see he's with the 12 apostles. And said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. Okay, we read, you know, enough verses here. Have we read enough to establish the fact that 12 did not know that he was going to die, be buried, and then be raised again? Even though it was prophesied in the Old Testament, right? There's 1,000 prophecies about this, the events of the cross. By the way, how many have seen The Passion, that movie, The Passion? Have y'all seen The Passion, Mel Gibson's movie? You know, what we just read here, verse 32, he'll be delivered to the Gentiles, shall be mocked, spitefully entreated, spit upon, verse 33, they shall scourge him. That movie absolutely portrays, I mean, if you can't understand what the Lord Jesus Christ went through in the hours before this cross, I mean, Mel Gibson shows you point blank. I mean, when they whip him and the bone, the pieces of bone fragment that are on that whip, I mean, it's not just a whip like we think of. There's bone fragments, and you see that flesh rip from him and go flying through the air. And you just go, oh my gosh. And you know, he went through that for us. He went through that for you, for me, for everybody in this room, for everybody in that part, everybody in this world. He did that for us. He died the death that we deserve. Every one of us is a sinner. Romans chapter 3 says there's none good, no, not one. Not one of us can be good enough. Okay? Is it a good idea to, you know, stop doing a few things? And you know, sure, but it has nothing to do with our salvation. Nobody can get good enough. That's why he had to come and die the death that we deserved. He who knew no sin, the Bible tells us. Okay, now while we're here in Luke, let's go over to chapter 24. All right, now where we just jumped to, Luke 24, is after the crucifixion. Of course, we know that he was raised again the third day, and then for 40 days he stayed on the earth, and then he ascended into heaven. Okay, so where we're about to read is right here, about the end of this 40-day period after his resurrection. Starting in verse 44. So Luke 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, and the them is the 11 now, because of course Judas Iscariot has hanged his worthless self, as they say. And he says, these are the, verse 44, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then watch these words carefully in verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Okay, so then he opened their eyes. Okay, after the crucifixion. Okay, that's the key thing here. And of course, sometimes when we're... Yes, Brian.
So Peter, back there where we started in Matthew.
Right.
He was understand his knowledge the 7 days prior, when he said, verily, thou art the Christ, or however, I misquoted that. But what was he saying there?
Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood is not revealed unto you, my Father which is in heaven.
I see where he's not showing the
resurrection. What he knew is that Christ is the Son of God. He did not, what he didn't know is that he was going to go die on the cross and be raised again.
So the death. He didn't see the death.
He did not see the death and more importantly, the resurrection. He only knew that Christ was the Son of the living God. Even though it was prophesied. Yep. There's 1,000 prophecies back there. Remember, these men, these 12 disciples, apostles, were not learned men in the scriptures. He took ordinary common men, bless you, like us, and made them apostles. Okay, he didn't take the learned, those were the Pharisees, right? The people that were taught in the scriptures and all that. But they did not know it. And even though he told them he was going to do that, they didn't know it. They didn't get it. So right here it says he opened their eyes here. So this is 40 days after is when he shows them. Now.